Welcome to New York Zen Center for Contemplative Care's podcast. This free podcast is made possible through your generosity. Please consider making a donation through our Ways to Give link on zencare.org.
The light is so amazing. Wow. I'm delighted to be here with you all. William Carlos Williams said, "I have eaten the plums that were in the icebox, and which you were probably saving for breakfast. Forgive me. They were so delicious, so sweet, and so cold." Stealing. Taking something. Krishna gave me some cookies that were very delicious. And Choto ate them. I didn't think you'd want them. How these things happen all the time. So sweet, actually. So delicious. How is it to be truly content with just what we have? How is that for any of us? To be truly content, what would it be just to walk down between 23rd Street, between 6th and 7th, feeling completely content with what you have? Like, that would be a great experiment and practice. Meaning, content with what you have, not even imagining where you're going, where you've come from, but actually fully entering each step down 23rd Street. How many of us have done that? Walked a city block, without stealing our life from our life. And we might have really sweet thoughts, delicious thoughts, terrible thoughts, sorrowful thoughts. But to me, what I love about this practice is it always reminds me of coming back. To this moment. This breath, this matte blank, ever mysterious. You never know what the moment has in store. We have these tea bowls that were very beautiful. Tea bowls made by a Japanese potter, and pretty much all of them are chipped now. Mm-hmm. people wash them and just like stack them in the metal rack, but they're very fragile. So they're, and so when I talk to some folks, like, so let's just, you know, let's not put those in the rack. And they said, oh, they're too delicate, you know, like, why do we even have them? And I just found this story the other day about Suzuki Roshi was asked the same question, that they're having problems at San Francisco Zen Center with their teacups too. It must be a Zen Center epidemic. So a student complained to Suzuki about how thin and delicate the teacups were there. And said, well, why don't we, you know, the student said to him, you know, they're too delicate, you know, it's not useful. And he smiled. And he said, but you don't know, you just don't know how to handle them. You have to adjust yourself to the environment, not vice versa. I know I'm not I don't tend to be wild about adjusting myself to the environment. I have a habit of wanting what I want when I want it. I want to think about what I'm thinking about when I want to think about it. I have a tendency to not want to have discomfort. I have a tendency not to want to be direct. And for me, this is all has to do with stealing. Stealing actually what's happening in the moment. Stealing intimacy, directness, authenticity through my busyness. Bodhidharma said in this precept, he said that self-nature is subtle and mysterious. In the realm of the ungilded Dharma, when you don't gild the lily, not having a single thought of gaining is called the precept of non-stealing. For me, the gaining is so subtle, so many layers of subtlety to the gaining. How I want you to see me, how I want to experience myself, gaining my sense of safety and security. Endless. Dogen says, the mind and the externals just are thus. The mind and the externals are just thus. The gate of liberation is open. That was his comment on this precept. What would that be like? That the gate of liberation is always open. And through stealing, we shut it. I know that's true for me. So easy to make things into things. And to forget what Dogen's saying, that things are just as thus. Thusness of just how things are. My first teacher, Dido Lori, said, how to practice this precept. He said, be generous. Cultivate the mind of generosity. Be giving. And that's how we give and receive. Then there's nothing to steal. In spiritual practice, to me, like, the greatest stealing is this chasing after some special mind state of peace or well-being, even. And one of my favorite stories is Mara, who is the personification of just greed, anger, and delusion. Ours. He or she is us, really. You know, but it's kind of fun to have these figures, like these statues. And he was traveling, and his job was always just to make sure everyone is, you know, filled with greed, anger, and delusion. So if you're ever experiencing any of those emotions, for example, now, you can thank him. You know. He's doing his job. But one of my favorite stories about it is that he was traveling with some of his attendants. I love that he had attendants, too.
I'd like to get the job interview.
I think all of us would pass the interview. Reinforcing our greed, anger, and ignorance. I think all of us are pretty good at that. We're all the attendants of Mara, actually. Oh, so we were all walking down the street. And we saw someone else in deep meditation, having like a profound insight. Oh, how fabulous. And one of us realized, like, we better tell Mara, you know, they're going to actually see through. But their greed, anger, and delusion. And he said, oh, no worries. Watch what happens to that person. The moment they have a great insight, they're going to make a truth out of it. And then they're back into our entourage. Making a belief true. Maybe some of you do that. Oh, wow. It's totally like that. It's like this. It's amazing. Always wanting to, like, grasp something that is impossible to grasp. So many notes. In our precept study, we put together some slogans to practice with for each precept. I love the sixth one. Constantly give thanks. Constantly give thanks. Not to, oh, thanks for the cookies, Krishna. Not just that. for your sorrows, for your stuckness, for your grief, for your kitty cat. Sunshine, horns, burr, burr. To me, it helps me be more where I am for this interesting claw paper community. My sore knee. To me, this way is about how we practice non-stealing. Being so grateful and actually fully recognizing what is here instead of what I wish was here or some idea of what was here. Why is that so hard? For me, it's always about, you know, 1,000 years ago, there's a teaching story of a monk asking his teacher, like, how is it nowadays? And he says, nowadays people see a peony as if they were in a dream. So nowadays people don't even see what they see. That was 1,000 years ago. And I love that now we have these, you know, people say, oh, because of social media or something, but people have had this problem about entering their life intimately forever. Probably since at least there was like cave bears, right? They're like, oh no, what if this cave bear comes? Instead of actually cooking their dinner. We're still doing that. Waiting for something to collapse or to be built instead of fully entering our life. So to me, it's actually very encouraging to realize, like, wow, people have been struggling with this throughout time. And we now are participating in that. And how will we participate? How will we not steal? How can we actually give thanks to each moment so that we can really give ourselves to that moment and receive it? That's what I'm wondering about. Thank you.